Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio.
Good evening. It is Access All Areas live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
I'm Stephen Lang.
And guys, we're in for a little treat. So we've got a new little segment on the show now. So we're bringing something a little bit new to Access All Areas. So she's joined us a couple of times as a lovely co-host, Ellen McCoughlin. How are you, darling?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm really good. So guys, as you know, she's a showbiz journalist. And we're going to add this little thing to the show where we're going to have a nice little debrief. You know, we like to spill the tea.
We do. We love the tea on the show, don't we?
So more on that in a second. But as always, we've got a jam-packed show this evening. And we're going to be speaking to I Kissed a Boy's Dan Harry. And then we've got a little bit of Drag Race UK, Alexis St. Pete. So we're going to get a lot of tea. And it's a reality TV special fest.
Okay. Gay.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it.
I am mad, babe.
Diversity here, guys. Rainbow flags out. So, Ellen, babe, what is going on in showbiz land this week? I think we all can agree it's been a busy week for showbiz.
It has been a busy week. We are not short of stories, that's for sure. And Britney Spears is the gift that keeps on giving this week. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that will roll on to next week as well, no doubt. Because her book just came out yesterday. Downloaded it myself. I'm halfway through, so trying to fly through the audiobook of that. But there's loads of stories that have come out of that. And one of which caught my eye yesterday, actually, is that she accused the Jonathan Ross show. Now, she didn't actually say the Jonathan Ross show, and this is allegedly. The Sun have said that they reckon it's the Jonathan Ross show because actually that was her last interview in 2016.
Okay.
And she said that she tried to speak about her conservatorship during that interview. It was in 2016, so this was way before any of us even knew about the conservatorship.
So it was all on the DL at this point. None of us had a clue.
None of us had a clue. And when it all came out, everybody was questioning why she hadn't brought it up sooner and why nobody knew about it, because her fans would have, you know, rallied around her sooner.
Yeah.
But she said that she actually tried to bring it up in this interview numerous times and it was brushed away and it never made the actual edit of the show.
See, I'm wondering, I mean, as you say, all alleged, but especially a guest like Britney, a lot of celebs of that level will agree in advance, or their PR will say, these are what you can't ask and these are what you can ask. So there's always a rough idea what the presenter can ask.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, bearing in mind she was under a conservatorship, if it was always going to get pulled. So it might not have been the production or Jonathan. I'm sure he would have loved it to have gone out.
I'm sure
production would have loved it to air, especially because that would have been an exclusive worldwide.
Exactly.
So I wonder if the nature of what she was talking about was exactly what had it pulled, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I think that it probably would have been written in the conservatorship that it can't be talked about on TV because it is a legal issue.
Yeah.
So that's probably it. But she seemed pretty annoyed in the book that it hadn't gone to air, because I think that she had mentioned it a few times. She was speaking about her album Glory and she was saying it's my baby because it's the first album that I actually ever got to like create my own music for, and I wasn't the conservatorship didn't dictate what I made. And they left in the bit about the album, but they took out all the mention of conservatorship. So I think she was a bit miffed by that.
I do wonder if it was just super cautionary, like you said, on the legal issue. I can imagine that behind, like, Jonathan would have probably quite liked it.
Execs would have been rubbing their hands.
But then I reckon there was probably a real sense of caution. I don't know if there was legal issues about discussing that she was in one. I don't feel like.
But maybe the agreement to even have her as a guest, there was an unspoken role. I reckon he probably. And the fact it's pre-recorded, but actually, if you are listening, Brittany, and I know it's likely, how we overcome this in the future, babes, is if you come on FUBAR Radio, it's live. So no one's cutting anything here, darling. So, Britt, when you want to come to London next, drop me a DM and we'll get you on FUBAR.
Perfect.
Ellen, what else is in the books? There's been a few little bombs she's dropped, didn't
there? There has been a few things. So she actually, there was rumours for years that one of her dancers, Wade Robson, that there was an affair with him. So she actually admitted to kissing him in the book.
Oh, what a mix.
And this is when she was with Justin.
While she was with Justin. And she says that in the book as well. But she... one of her songwriters has come out since, spoke to TMZ and said that basically it was a little more than just a one night kiss. She said that it was
one night kiss. That's a new one.
Was it a one night something, Kellen?
It's a one night something. But Britney says a kiss after a night out. But I don't think she would spill too much tea there. But anyway, her songwriter has basically said that no, it wasn't. And that she had written a 14 page breakup letter to to Wade, and she said, you wouldn't write a 14-page breakup letter to somebody that you kissed for one night.
Over a kiss. No, we was doing that at house parties at school. Do you know what I mean? I went writing 14-page letters. I didn't do 14-page letters for my GCSE, let alone for a boy I'd kissed.
Exactly. And apparently, word on the street is, she had kept this in her makeup bag to give to Wade, but Justin had found it in her dressing room before she got a chance to give it to Wade. And that's why Justin broke up with her via text.
Oh, and it was a two-word text, wasn't it?
Two-word text.
It's over.
It's over.
Which I think was, after the amount of time they've been together, even if it was like a bit, you know, awkward at the end, that seems quite cutting.
Did she text back to that, do we know?
Hopefully not.
What do you mean, babe?
You ain't been in my makeup bag, have you? And I've seen stuff on socials. So again, I'm going to say allegedly just to cover me, but I know you've listened to half the book already. Has she said something about Christina? She had the arsehole a little bit because Christina did that famous photo shoot. Yeah. Was it Rolling Stones?
With Justin.
With Justin, yeah. And she didn't like it.
She didn't like it. She said she was really hurt by it, even though she acknowledged that she didn't think that they went out to hurt her. She just felt that she was so scarred from the relationship. And she still, to this day, claims that Justin was her, like, number one love. She talks about him, like, so much throughout the book. She barely mentions, like, her ex-husbands and all of that. She, like, you can tell that she really, like, Justin was her first love. So I feel like it was probably just more cutting to see them together. She said... Yeah. He looked at her with his sexy eyes in the picture and she couldn't get it out of her head.
Oh, God. I mean, do you know what, though? It makes me feel, on the one hand, very sorry for her. On the other hand, I'm a bit embarrassed for her that she's stuck in the same age. 20 years ago, her and Justin were together.
Yeah.
And she really hasn't managed to develop or get over since that.
I feel first love. There is something about first love. I don't know if you ever fully get over first love.
I did.
It feels like it.
I'm not saying that you're pining for him or you're going to turn up with a Tiffany box, but I think there is something about first love. It's the coming of age. It's the first person you've done certain things with.
Yeah, yeah.
Read books, done each other's hair.
Friendship bracelets.
Yeah, that stuff. I think you're right. I think there's always kind of like this romance about your first love. And it's like the one that cuts the deepest because it's like you're so young and those feelings just feel magnified when you're that age. So I feel like it's probably a bit of that. She romanticised
and you're more naive in the beginning. And then as time goes on, you're a little bit
more cynical.
You just get a thicker skin. Get a thicker skin, don't you?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like you say, I'm sure we're going to keep talking about this because there's a lot to unravel here. And I'm excited. I'm going to download this on the way home.
Yes, yeah. The audiobook, listen to it because you could be cleaning the house, going for a walk and doing your bits. And
getting all the tea. What else, Miss Ellen?
Well, Harry and Meghan are back in the headlines. We saw the last of them, but hardly. they were being mocked again. this time in Family Guy. It was a savage takedown. So basically, there's a scene where there's a butler comes over and he hands him a wad of cash and he says, hey, this is from Netflix for I don't know what. And then Meghan gets a text in the video and she says that, oh, I've just got us a sponsorship deal with Taco Bell or something like that, Del Taco, for like $250,000. And then there's also kind of a dig at the royal family in the clip because then Harry says, oh, take me back to the made up nonsense that I left back home or whatever, alluding to the royal family being made up nonsense. So they're still in the headlines, even though, do you know what, I do feel sorry for Harry and Meghan, and I know this is an unpopular opinion, but I do a bit because I get that, like, South Park done the same thing and they were doing the worldwide privacy
that
tour.
Was funny.
That was funny, to be fair. Like, I'm pretty sure even Harry and Meghan had a giggle at that.
Oh, you'd have to, wouldn't you? You'd go in,
I don't know if they have much of a sense of humour about
themselves. If I was sat on the sofa with my Jaffa cakes, I'd go, oh, wait, have a look at these. You'd have to have a giggle.
You would. It was funny, to be fair. Mm. Like, the plaques, like, stop looking at us. Like, it is funny. But I do feel like now that they've taken a step back and, you know, their documentary's finished, Spare is over and done with, like, most people have stopped talking about them. And now their name gets dragged up again with these kind of like parodies.
And I
feel like they just kind of want things to turn to their like charity work now and, you know.
Well, there's rumours as well, I believe, that they might be coming back to the UK and that they're house hunting, I've read.
I've read that as well, but like, I don't know how substantial those claims
are. Yeah. I'm inclined to believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they did get a home in the UK, seeing as they don't have one at present, right?
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense for them to get a home in the UK. It seems that Charles kicked him out of Frogmore Cottage. Yeah. Nice one, Charles.
I think the tricky thing, and I get what you're saying, and this is kind of the tricky thing, because they have consciously stepped back, it seems. Mm. But, and we've said this for a little while, since the whole the leaving of the royal family and the freedom flight and after the Netflix and the book and everything that's gone with it, that they have kind of stepped into celebrity world now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fair game. The minute you're in celebrity, people are got, do you know what I mean? So actually there are going to be parodies and things that you don't see about Kate and Will.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because there's a respect for what, and if I'm not saying that's right or that's wrong, but you kind of sign a deal with the devil a little bit.
You're right, but I do think there are parodies of Kate and Will in like The Windsors on Channel 4 and stuff like that. But there are, and there's a lot of stuff about her, like Kate being lazy or like not being asked to work and stuff. It's not the same level.
No.
But it does exist. So I think, I think fair enough, the royal family are in the position that they're in. You know, they're fair. It's fair enough to make, you know, light of them because they have enough privilege and luck in their life.
Yeah. I do feel like the tabloids, especially the Red Tops, tend to have more respect, like you said, for the royals.
Yeah.
But with Harry and Meghan, they kind of act now like they're fair game, and they just like I can't remember the last time I saw a positive headline about them.
And I don't know how they rein that back really moving forward. Even though, and I to be fair, I do feel it, especially Meghan has consciously, it seems really. I mean, I know we've seen a few a pap shots of her with a little thing she had on her arm.
The stress release.
A little stress reliever.
Apparently, yeah.
Oh, right.
And she did a little. She turned up a little bit for the games, didn't she? But pre that, especially when he had all the cult stuff going on, she wasn't here. She wasn't running around LA getting papped, going to catch, or do you know what I mean? Or out
or
with
pump. Lisa Vanderpump.
It's a tricky one.
You can definitely tell that she's trying to take a step back and leave him take the kind of brunt of the headlines for now, especially like you said, the court case. He was back and forth without her.
She's like, you deal with that,
babes. You deal with that, hon. That's why I kind of don't think she'll move back to the UK with him, because maybe they will have a house here just for when they visit, but I don't think she'd move back because, like the headlines, like you said, it's going to be chaos all over again.
That's why she didn't come to the coronation, was it? I know they said it was George's birthday, but realistically, I think it was... That was definitely part of it, that they didn't want to draw the attention away on
I think it was right of her as well, because it would have been frustrating. Like, as somebody who works in the media writing headlines, I would have been frustrated constantly writing headlines about Meghan the King's coronation. Let's talk about the King.
I bet you're a bit bored shitless of writing about it. It gets to that point where you're a bit like, just the same thing over and over again.
It is a bit like that. But I feel like the public gets sick of hearing about her and they take it out on her.
Yeah.
So they're like, I'm sick of hearing about her, and she's probably saying, I'm sick of people writing about me, but they take it out
she
on
ain't
her.
Writing it herself and go to the Daily Mail print that. Do you
That's
know what I mean?
Interestingly, this long rumoured return to Instagram hasn't happened yet, has it? And I know there's a profile that was
she's secured
Meghan.
The domain, isn't she?
Yeah, but nothing's been posted yet, because the second she starts posting,
it's going to blow up. Have you followed the page?
Yes.
I have too. We're on the
I have
pulse.
To for work.
What's her following at the minute?
I don't know. It's not like 140,000, something like that, I think. It's, because
it's
got
to go up a little
there's
bit.
There's no picture of her on there. The picture is of like some flowers. So you don't actually know that it's her. But...
It's probably like 140,000 journalists, really, at the moment, just waiting for something.
Well, they've got those alerts ready to go when that post comes.
Exactly. Yeah, my Google alerts are
She's
hopping.
Got just. At Meghan is the handle, wasn't she?
That's it.
Yeah.
How she got that, God knows.
Must be because she's paid for it.
Yeah, all gone to Instagram and said, you know, I am
Meghan.
Do you
know
who I am? Meghan, exactly. No need for the surname.
What else, Miss Ellen? Anything else?
Well, speaking of biographies, we have another really interesting one, which is coming out tomorrow, Little Mix.
Yes, I heard about this.
Getting all the scoop. It's Leah Ann Pinnock. It's her book, and she actually talks about Jessie Nelson Lee. leaving the band and how detrimental that was to the girl's mental health. She actually described it as traumatizing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she said that all the girls actually went to counselling after it. Yeah, she said they basically found out more or less the same time as the rest of the world that Jesse was leaving the band.
Yeah, by a lawyer or something.
Through their lawyers, which seems so impersonable.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know what happened before all that. Was there a falling out? Because I know that they did perform about a month before that, and Jesse had, it was for Little Mix, The Search, and Jesse had backed out. That was 1 month before. So she backed out of that performance, saying that it was mental health problems. So nobody really questioned that until then. She left the band and they were thinking, okay, well, maybe there was something, some rift here going on with the girls.
Pre-leaving.
And now this book kind of adds fuel to that fire because they found out through their lawyer, like we said, and they said it was very sudden and really traumatizing, and they all went to counselling because of it.
So did they kind of get the lawyers there, and then did it just pop up on their phones at Jessie's left the group? Because there must have been a little mixed group, I'm guessing. Or is Jessie still in there? She's just muted them girls.
Well, she unfollowed them all. The day that she left the group, she unfollowed them all. That's a statement. Like, you're not just leaving the group. Like, her statement was actually that she was leaving because of the pressures that was being in a girl group and her mental health problems and stuff like that. But you don't then unfollow all of your friends who they were like sisters.
Yeah, you've been working together for a long time at that point, haven't they?
Exactly. So I feel like we're going to get a lot more tea in that book.
That'll be a good read.
She's not come out of any of this very well, has she, Jessie Nelson?
No.
It hasn't worked in her favour at all. Her single bombed, I believe. It didn't really go anywhere, and she released another song which didn't go anywhere. I don't kind of know how she comes back from it, short of some sort of reality show.
Yeah,
which I think is kind of, it would seem probably not the career path she would have chosen.
No, I feel like she might think that would be a bit below her because she went to the States. I have a feeling that she felt she was the Beyonce of the band. I don't know, but I feel she thinks she was the Beyonce, and she thinks that she was leaving the Destiny's Child behind and that she was going to blow up in the States. I mean, getting Nicki Minaj on your... She was more the Jerry Hallowell. But I feel like, getting Nicki Minaj on her first single was a very big statement. And technically, she should have blown up with a Nicki Minaj on her track. And it bombed. So I don't really know what's going to happen there. But Leah Ann is now forging a solo career for herself. So she might be the Beyonce, who knows?
And her new song's very good. I wouldn't say it's Beyonce, but it's very good.
Is it expected to get a lot more tea, or is that kind of... Because I'm guessing whoever's got snippets of it, it's sent out to journos and stuff in advance.
Yeah.
Is that the biggest bit of tea at the minute that we've got on the girls?
That is from her book. Her book is called Believe, and that seems to be the biggest headline today. But as you know, like when Britney's book was released, they'll snowball. So I feel like that was probably the main thing that the journalists were interested in hearing about in a way, and then the rest... but I'm pretty sure there'll be more.
Yeah, there's got to be a little bit more, because they obviously started on X Factor together. They've had that whole career and that whole journey. Fascinating
crazy
stuff.
Yeah.
I think we've got time for one more, Miss McLaughlin.
One more. Okay. So Strictly Come Dancing, I'm sure we've all heard the drama today. Amanda Abington has dramatically quit the show. So apparently she said that she's sad to be leaving the show, and her partner Giovanni is also devastated that she's leaving, I'm sure. But
I don't know.
So it's a funny one. She said it was for health reasons, and we'll have to take her word on that, I suppose. But there was rumours circulating for a while that that Amanda and Giovanni weren't actually getting along,
And also she didn't name check Giovanni in her statement,
her leaving statement, which
I think was probably a little bit of a hint as to the situation, because even in passing,
I'd like to thank my fellow contestants,
and you're like, right,
yeah, all the contestants,
the ones that you see basically in rehearsals and then on the live show, and that'll probably be it for the week,
exactly.
Whereas Giovanni, you're with him like, I don't know, 5 days a week or whatever. So I mean, it's a shame. I think Giovanni's had two sort of rough years with Strictly. But I mean,
Allegedly.
I'm not Amanda's biggest fan, let's put it that way. So
I know it's all speculation and none of us know sat around this table, but obviously the week before she didn't perform, did she? Because of, was it an injury or illness? Is there anything to confirm, was there really an illness or an injury, or were things not going
She said for personal reasons, right? So it's kind of nothing.
Do you think whatever's happened now, do you reckon this has been going on? She ain't just woke up that day and gone, fuck this.
Well, according to the Sun, I believe they said that they barely spoke, her and Giovanni barely spoken in 10 days, which would indicate before the week that she wasn't, the first week that she wasn't on.
She was away last week, she did have a really gushing post saying that she can't wait to come back to him. But in contrast to today's post, she just didn't even mention him in the post. So is that telling? Has something happened since last week?
It's giving with one hand and taking back with the other. As he's took to the socials today, though, isn't he?
Has who?
Yeah, Giovanni posted.
Right,
yeah.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. And he actually posted a picture with Amanda, right? And said, like, I'm proud of what we achieved. Yeah. That was pretty much it.
And he did comment under her leaving post, but just with emojis. I think a crying face and a heart or something like that. So
laughing, crying or sad crying.
Very important.
I need to get the facts.
Yes.
Well, bye, Amanda. I don't know how much you'll be missed, so let's not worry too much about
you
it.
You don't seem like a fan, Steve.
I wouldn't say I am.
Oh, dear.
If there was somebody to take her place, who would you prefer to see?
What, to bring back?
Yeah.
Les Dennis,
we'd love
for
it.
Comedy value.
Because the show's starting now, I guess we won't get a celeb replacement, will we?
No, because that would be so
unfair on the other people that have done 5 weeks.
Because we're a few weeks in now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Imagine if that person went on to win the show, there'd be uproar.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to upset a few people, ruffle a few feathers, a few feather boas. Yeah. So do you think anyone will ever come out and say what's really happened next again?
I'd love it. I think Amanda will.
I wouldn't be surprised if Amanda would, like years down the line. I remember Fern Britton came out and about her partner Artem years down the line saying that I hope I'm remembering this right, but that he'd like kicked her, like, but it was like to like. Mm. To make her put her legs further apart when they were doing like a routine, but she took it really badly. Oh. And it led to like a real like breakdown in their relationship. So there are people that come out years later and say, but I don't think Amanda will be sort of doing a...
Do you think contractually she probably isn't allowed to spill any tea?
Yeah, definitely, actually. Mm. She probably has. There's probably a statute of limitations to that contract, though. So maybe, like you said, in a few years' time, she might even do an autobiography and spill the tea. Join the bandwagon.
So like everyone else. Talk about a show which could perceive it in a negative light. So actually... Mm. Who knows, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure that will run out and I'll be here to talk about it when it does.
Exactly.
A
couple more minutes, actually. You got time for a cheeky one?
Right, go on. Have you guys heard of Milli Vanilli?
Yes, from the 80s.
From the 80s. Have you heard of them?
Milli Vanilli? Nah.
Have you not?
Nah.
So I heard about them years ago, but they're popping back into the stratosphere. Basically, there's a new documentary after being released. It's a Paramount Plus documentary. But basically, they're a disgraced duo. What happened is they were hired as singers. They got a records deal. They actually won a Grammy. They were a brilliant R&B 80s band.
Yeah.
And then it turned out a couple of years later that they weren't actually singing on the track at all.
Yeah.
And it was totally different singers.
Yeah, they were just lip-syncing.
They were lip-syncing the whole time and their Grammy got taken off them. And it's the first time that that's ever happened in the Grammys, apparently. Like, even when you look up all the Grammy winners for Best Newcomers, it's a blank space for that year. So they...
Shade.
They were basically the first people to ever get cancelled.
So there's now a documentary about it.
There's now a documentary about it. And apparently it's going to turn the tables of how we viewed it. So people looked very negatively upon the situation. Whereas now, after watching the documentary, apparently people are going to have a bit more sympathy for them because they were apparently tricked into signing.
You heard it here first, guys. Get involved in that documentation. So, Ellen, I want to say thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure to have you. And loving that little segment. And you'll be back next week to give us a little bit more showbiz gossip. Now, guys, it's time for Bobby on the Street. I'm always, as ever, going to give you a little taster, just a few seconds. So this week I took to the streets of London, as I do, and I thought, I'm going to ask people this week, and I thought, you know what, obviously we've seen Holly Willoughby step back from this morning and there's a permanent shape on the sofa which is empty now, and I'm like, well, who do we want? So I've been the Let from Breath of London, well, not really, Soho and Oxford Street, but I've been around London, and I want to know, who do the people want to replace Holly Willoughby on This Morning? So let's have a little listen.
Oh, I like the two that are on the other now, Dermot and Alison. Yeah. They're quite good fun. Yeah.
Judy Love and Andy Peters.
Oh, I'd probably say Adele, I think.
I like Alison.
Yeah.
She's good. But to be honest, I think, can I be controversial? Maybe maybe the show is been and gone.
Oh, you think it's done?
I do. Yeah. I'd like you to replace her. I really would. I think you're so chatty and so entertaining.
Someone with a little bit of personality. Maybe a bit of a mix-up. Maybe a bit of Davina.
You've got Richard, that's quite good.
And I think you'd be quite funny.
I quite like Alison, but actually, I think they should keep it all different people. Just keep it moving around. I think, like, someone different every day.
You.
So, guys, a lot of people want the nice on the sofa, but a nice mixed bag of answers.
You and me could do it.
We could do it, yeah.
Ryland and his ex-husband did it. Well, we can have two other gays.
Can I come and do the showbiz?
Yeah, you can come do it, yeah.
For ITV, yeah. Here we come.
Right, thank you again, both. It's been an absolute pleasure, Ellen.
Thank you, guys.
We're going to take a little break, and then we've got the lovely Dan Harry from I Kissed a Boy joining us in the studio for an interview in two. We'll see you there.
FUBAR Radio presents
All areas.
We have the absolute icon, legend, Janice Dickinson.
I'm here.
Do you still enjoy doing reality shows, or do you now see it as more of like a part of your job that you like have to do?
I do really enjoy it. I don't enjoy the actuality of eating fish eyeballs.
Well, yeah, there's that side to Amazon.
Or gonads, or vagina of cow.
Yeah. But you do like the sort of social side, do you? Like just the
social side was fantastic. Just getting to know people and sleeping with people and eating with people when we didn't really have enough food.
This week we have Natalie Balmain, winner of Channel 4's Make Me a Prime Minister. We do have a serious problem with the standard of our public servants and the behaviour they display both in office and in ministerial office, no?
Absolutely, 100. We're an embarrassment.
Yeah.
We're a nation that once purported to be world leaders. But now with the people we have in charge, we can't even lead ourselves.
Well, we are leading the world in terms of idiots and clowns in office, I think.
The Dating Show. Do you remember back in the day when it used to be like fashionable or it was the thing to do when you'd go on Facebook, yeah, and you'd be like, hello, I'm like in a relationship. And what was the other one? It was It's Complicated. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it's in a relationship with,
yeah,
or it's complicated. But then what it used to do, it used to pop up on the feed, so you'd be sitting there,
yeah.
And then in the feed, it would be, I don't know, Jess, whoever is now single. So you like that one. Or poke them. Did you poke them? Then you give them a little poke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give a little virtual poke.
Yeah.
Just to go, I see you're single now, babe.
Yeah.
Facebook were great, wasn't it?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Access All Areas, live on FUBAR Radio. And we are joined in the studio by the lovely Dan Harry from I Kissed a Boy. Dan, how are you?
Hello, boys. I'm good. How are you?
Very good.
Thank you for coming in and seeing us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
I think it's fair to say, having had a few of the I Kissed a Boy contestants on, to say that I am like one of the biggest fans of the show ever. I was obsessed.
Yeah, Stephen, I see your tweets about me. I've seen them. And yeah, I love it.
It was such a Well, it felt like a one-off experience. Obviously, they're bringing back I Kissed a Girl, but because it was the first kind of thing like that, right? Like, it was a big deal. How, with some perspective on it now, how are you looking back on it?
Do you know what? It's such a funny one. Like, it feels like a lifetime ago for me now. Like, when I'm trying to, like, think about what happened, it all just seems like such a distant memory. In my head, it's almost like that holiday you went on to Tenerife, like, years ago. Yeah. Like, you have those little like flashes of things, but generally it just feels like a bit of a blur. But the thing is, I do get people reminding me like, oh my god, this thing happened and that thing happened, and it tells me like, wow, we like did something pretty big.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's gone around the world, right?
It's gone around the world. It's in Australia. it's I get people messaging me all over America, people saying that they're fans of the show and that they loved it, and it's just like, what the hell? It's mad.
Did you ever sit back and watch the series after you'd left? Like, are you kind of obsessed with it just to see almost... Because when you're living and breathing a reality TV show, you've got no idea what's actually going to make it to screen. And obviously things have to get cut and edited, otherwise the show would be 2 years long.
Totally.
So from watching it back, if you have... How do you feel it kind of, was it done true to life and was you happy with the edit, so to speak?
Oh, do you know what, right? I haven't ever said anything about how I felt about the edit before. I guess now, with time passing, I do feel clearer about my opinion on the edit. I came across well. I come across like a nice guy, right? But
you're going to say, but I was a total dickhead.
Yeah, which is not true at all. But... there's so much more that happened and that I said that wasn't there. Like I have like a really like compelling coming out story that like I was really hopeful would be shown. That wasn't shown. I was really disappointed about. I had like a one-on-one date with Danny Minogue that got cut as well. So Danny like pulled me out of the masseria. Me and her had a chat about my like love triangle situation at the time. I like quoted some quotes back to her, like hun quotes that she has. We had like a fun little moment. So that was a really amazing, memorable moment that didn't make it. And also me and Ollie had a night in like the man cave, which also was cut from the edit.
So
there were some like big moments in my story that didn't quite make it.
Right.
So I'm disappointed about that. But I think like what I've tried to do is just be happy with what was there, because you can't, it's out of your control. You know what I mean? You know what that's like. Like,
yeah.
You have no say in it. It just happens and you have to make peace with it.
Yeah. Because
you know?
Like, it doesn't matter how much you cry about or stress about it, it's done. But
totally.
What's your reasoning behind it? I mean, or can you come to a conclusion? Why do you think it went that way and they did pull certain things? Have you thought about that? Because sometimes when you watch things back, you're a bit like, because obviously you know what's happened. You've lived and breathed it.
Totally. Do you know, I think it just comes down to time. They have such a little amount of time, and actually the timing that they had, the amount of episodes they had, like, I do feel like was a disservice to the boys and our stories, because they were never going to be able to tell all of our stories in that time. And actually there was other boys on there who like will be saying, Dan, why are you saying that? Because you got way more airtime than I did. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I really acknowledge that. So like, I do think like it just comes down to the amount of time that you have to really tell a story, because like even with my like love triangle that I had when I first walked into the masseria, I will always remember like thinking for that lasted for about 4 days, right? And I barely slept the whole time. I did not sleep, because each night I was going to bed, and in my mind I was thinking, right, so what if that happens? What if that happens? What will I do if that happens? What will I do if they say that? What will I do if Danny asks me to do that? Blah, 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 blah. I was trying to think, like, how am I going to react in all these situations, right?
Yeah.
And that lasted a long period of time. But on the show, it lasts for about half an hour, right? And there, I felt like that was going on for weeks. And it was the inner turmoil I had.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Oh, God, like, what are people going to think if I've... Because I've kissed him, and then I've took him on a date, and I've done this, I've done that. And in the end, it all just became, like, a montage. Do you know what I mean? You barely actually see a lot of it, which, like, as again, as what it is. But
it's quite a weird one, because I think you, although there was no winner of the show, I would probably say that you and Ollie came out as the winners.
That's what people say. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's true.
Yeah.
You two aren't together anymore, but you did have at the Pink News Awards, you won an award for like the, what was it, the hottest?
No. And you know, right, let's clear this up right now. I put on my Instagram saying, I kissed the boy, on screen moment of the year, blah, 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 blah. Our shower scene sealed the deal.
Right.
I was being funny, right? People were so pissed because they were like, if it was for the shower scene, then why are you the one holding the award, not you and Ollie? And it became this whole thing, and I was like, look, it was a joke. We all won. It wasn't for one particular moment. It was for the show in general.
Right.
But there was a lot of confusion around that, and I just, like, honestly, the stuff that people say to me on social media, it could drive me up the wall sometimes.
But did the other I Kissed the Boy, were they pissed off, or did they sort of...
Who knows? Who cares?
Is there a WhatsApp group? Or has anyone left the WhatsApp group? I mean, there's
I've
got
heard
to be
about
a WhatsApp
group.
There is a WhatsApp group. I mean, I've archived it, so I don't know what the chat is. Like, I don't...
Are you over it? You know, I don't need to read it.
It's one of those things where not everyone in life is going to get on and be friends, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't have Well, I was going to say I don't have bad blood with anyone. I do, but I don't. I get on with most people, but like naturally, not everyone in life is going to get on.
Yeah.
Right? We've got this shared experience, but that's kind of a lot of that's kind of where it starts and ends. There are ones who I'm really like. I'm really close with Matty. I love Bobski. I'm going to an event with Bobski and Little Welsh Jake tomorrow. So like I still see some of them and stuff, but mostly we all kind of do our own thing now.
I think that's the nature of the it's like a job. I mean, you were only together for like, 2 weeks?
Yeah,
three weeks?
About 3 weeks, yeah. So like, it wasn't actually even that long, and we don't necessarily get a chance to see each other or be in each other's company very often post-filming. Like the Pink Nose Awards was the first time in a long, long time that we'd all been together.
Probably since the reunion show.
Well, since the reunion show, which that was the whole show.
that was
really
show
juicy,
so
by the way. Were you at the reunion show?
No, I wish. I didn't get invited to these things.
That was bloody... the version you saw was such
time?
The PG version. Oh my God. I was proper going for it at that reunion show. Like, I was going in like, right, let's do a Real Housewives reunion. And I don't think anyone else got that
statement. That went ready.
No. But
you're going to get yourself a reputation here. You've archived the group chat. You're not really talking to anyone. You went full
No, I know. And actually, you're right. And I don't want it to seem like that because that isn't the case. It's not like it's all bad. It's not that it's all bad blood. But I think it's just a case of we've all moved on and are doing our things. Yeah. Like I said, it feels like a lifetime ago we filmed that. I would imagine all the boys would say the exact same thing at this point. You know, like some of them have got their little groups, and like Matty and I, for example, he lives around the corner from me, so we see each other. But yeah, that's about it.
But I think it's the same. Because I think people, especially when people have done a TV show together, of course, people are always going to bond more with one person or a group of people. But whether you worked in a supermarket, a bank, an office, not every member of staff is best mates. Do you know what I mean?
No,
it's going to be people you're just naturally drawn to that you're closer to. And some, it can just be indifferent. It's not that you hate them. Sometimes it's just, I don't feel any. Do you know what
I mean? Exactly. And that's it. And I think, like, for example, if anyone in that cast called me and said they needed me or they needed advice or they needed help, I would be there a million percent.
You'd screen that call once and then you'd answer the second time just to make them suffer.
But that's honestly, that's the God's honest truth. Anyone who came to me and said they needed help or they needed advice or they wanted to talk to me, they would get the most open arms from that, you know?
Mm. Nice to know. Now, I don't want to touch upon it because obviously it's so recent for you, the Hawali breakup.
Yeah.
But I am intrigued. We've touched upon social media. So parking the relationship ending to one side. What's social media saying? Because we all know what the DMs are like.
Yeah.
Since you've announced that you're single, what's going on in the DMs? Are you getting dick pics? What are you getting? Are people are asking you out, trying it on?
Yeah, you do get a lot of that. You do get a lot. Do you know, I don't think I've had any dick pics now I'm thinking about it. I get people just like, can I take you out for a drink? Can I do this? Can I do that? Oh, I fancy you. You just get like people just trying their chances and like bless them, like God loves a trier, do you know what I mean? Like maybe one day I'll be like take them up on the offer, but I think for now I just let the DMs sit in the message requests and I'll address them some other time.
3 years down the line. Yeah. He's still single, he's still there.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird, it is really strange though, because for me, my whole time in the public eye has been with Ollie, right? So this new, it feels like a different dynamic to be single in the public eye because then there's just a different way that people will approach you, right? Because then there's that added layer. Whereas when I was with Ollie, people would sometimes try to do things, but more or less it would just be very platonic, but now there is that added layer, which is interesting.
Yeah.
What's life been like for you since? What have you been doing? Are you back at work? What's the score?
You're an
influencer now, huh?
It was kind of a whole funny thing because actually at the timing of the show coming out, I was leaving my job anyway. So it just kind of worked out in a really nice way that I've now been able to kind of sustain a living on the work that I've been doing post-show, which has been really nice. It's not something like, for me, I loved my job before. Absolutely loved it. I worked in PR, and I would go back in a second. But I just haven't done that yet because I've just had other projects that I've been working on.
And do you think it helps stepping into this industry now that you are from a PR background? Because you kind of, you know the game. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
You already had your foot in the door in terms of knowing what time it was. Do you know what I mean?
Honestly, and I think like that was, I didn't feel as green going into it. I felt like a bit more like, I get the gist of it. Even when I was filming, I felt like I understood a level of like, look, this is what we're here to, I kind of understood the assignment almost. Yeah. And I guess that's kind of what I've tried to carry through now post show coming out. And like I said, it comes back to that thing of like whenever the boys ask me for advice on anything, which they do, I'm the first person who will be, okay, contact this person, do this, because ultimately I want everyone to succeed. But the PR thing absolutely did help. You know, it helped me figure out how to like work with a good agent, how to speak to the press, how to like act when you're at events, like all those things, you know.
Yeah, don't get wasted. Don't do a bob and sort of, you know, run around drunk on the red carpet.
I definitely do that. Like, I definitely get drunk, but I get drunk after I've took the pictures.
Yeah. Right. Okay. You never learn. After a couple of dodgy pap shots, you're a bit like, actually, we'll have that gin after we get inside, rather than pre-drinks in the car on the way.
That's it.
I wanted to ask you, I mean, sorry, it's gone so quick and running out of time, but I'm intrigued to know your thoughts. Obviously, the success of I've Kissed a Boy, we now know we've got I Kissed a Girl coming. Mm. Do you think it's about time, and are you excited for it? Will you be tuning in?
Yeah, I am super excited for it. To be honest, I think, like, I feel quite out of the loop in terms of lesbian life. What are
me
like,
too?
Yeah.
What do lesbians do? What are they up to? Like, I've got lesbian friends.
DIY.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So I think like I'm going to be genuinely, like, I'm going to learn some stuff here. Yeah. In the same way that I would imagine the straight people learned from watching I Kissed a Boy. And actually, to give you, oh God, I don't know if I should say this.
Say it.
One of my really good friends was on the show and filmed it. Yeah, so I know, I've heard some stuff that happens, and it's going to be fabulous. I'm very, very excited.
Did she enjoy the experience?
Yeah, she loved it. She loved it. She, it sounds like for the girls, it was very much similar to the boys. They just really, they really went for it.
I was in Soho Square when there were people running around with casting t-shirts on,
yeah,
trying to get
right,
Pride. Yeah. I was like, wow. And I'm sure they'll be filming in like 3 or 4 weeks, so they're probably a little bit behind.
Yeah, I know. Well, I did hear that they were kind of running behind.
Down
on
to the
casting.
Wire.
No, they were, yeah. Mm. But I think they made it, so.
Oh, it's exciting.
Danny Minogue's kept him work for another year.
I know, bless her.
I think she's doing all right.
Just fine.
Whoever you are, if your surname's Minogue, you're all right. You know what I mean?
You're cushy.
The girl's gonna eat. She's doing good. So, I mean, also, you can't spill any tea because your friend's obviously not allowed to, and you're not gonna gross her up.
Yeah.
But do we know, is it exactly like for like to I Kissed a Boy? Like, have they added more episodes? Because, like I say, time wise, it could have actually probably gone on a bit longer.
Yeah,
the series. 100%, do you think the girls, have 100%. They given the girls longer?
I don't know about that. All I can say is I hope they do, and I know that there was a lot of feedback that they needed longer, so I would hope that they will have learned from that, and next time there will be more episodes, because there's so much stories to tell, you know.
I was literally every because they dropped an episode to two, didn't they, like two,
yeah, two episodes a week,
and I was literally like, I need more a week. It's like Big Brother or like Love Island. I was like, I need a daily
obsessed.
update.
I know, totally.
Oh, Dan, thank you so much for coming in. It's an absolute pleasure to have you in the studio and to have a lovely little chat with you, and best of luck with everything, mate.
Thank you, Hans. I'll bring me back any time. I'll come and have a chat with you.
Absolutely.
When I Kissed a Girl comes on, definitely we'll get you.
Yeah,
on.
Come and spill some tea for us.
As the winner of I Kissed a Boy.
Thanks so much.
Guys, so we're going to go to a little 2-minute break, and then we'll be joined again live in the studio by Alexis MP from Drag Race UK. So until then, we'll see you in two.
FUBAR Radio presents
All Areas. And we are joined now by our lovely guest, James Johnson, celebrity hairdresser. How are you, James?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
What was Mel B like then? I used to be a Spice Boy.
The best energy.
Did you sing to her?
I can't sing.
Nor can I, but I still
do. I remember the job got cancelled. I went to wherever she was staying in London. It got cancelled. And whoever she was living with, made as Victoria sponge cake. So the job got cancelled, we all sat around a table eating cake. I got in the car among mine and I was like, I've just sat with a spice girl eating Victoria sponge.
Oh, noshing a bit of Vicky sponge. Nick Helm and
Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club. We are joined in the studio now by professional comedian Brett Goldstein. How are you doing, Brett?
I'm very grateful to be here with you two.
If you could dig someone up and fuck them.
Gene Kelly.
Gene Kelly and Cary Grant, right?
Not Cary, there's not much time. If I could dig up Gene Kelly, I'd say, could we do a dance?
I've got a shovel in my boot.
In this scenario, is he still dead when you dig him up, or does he come out?
Does he come to life? Is he a rotten corpse, or is he?
That's fan club.
The dating show. Dating or going on dates when you were like a teenager was always quite fun, though. Do you know what I mean? I remember going on dates to like the cinema. You'd go shopping, like shopping centres, wouldn't you?
I think, if anything, they were maybe this just says about life and where it is, but I used to get really excited, like more excited than I do now. Like the thought of going to meet someone in a park, a boy, it was like, oh my fucking God, what trainers am I going to wear? Are my trainers clean? Am I going to plait my hair? It was like, if the thought that would go through my head just to meet one person, whereas now, you know, you might meet someone on the way home from work and it's like the effort, you're still making an effort, but it's like, yeah, I can fit you in. It's completely different.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Access All Areas, live on FUBAR Radio. And we are joined by the lovely Alexis St. Pete from Drag Race UK.
Hello, everybody. How are we doing?
We're good as gold, darling. How are you?
I'm very good.
Very pleased to have you in.
Thank you for having me. I'm a little bit nervous, so that's why my voice is a bit shaky, but hey.
You've been through much worse than this radio show.
No, I have.
I will put you at ease. Got your pearl necklace on.
If you can see my nipples, just...
Oh, we don't mind
looking
at
them even more.
Bob permanently has his nipples out. So, Drag Race UK, I mean, it came to a quick end for you. Probably not the way you will have hoped. Mm-hmm. How'd you feel about it?
Honestly, I'm just so grateful to be even there. So I wasn't really looking for any specific place that... that's a lie. I really wanted to take the crown. I really wasn't looking... But no, to be honest, like, just being on the show there as a Polish Cree person is already a winning thing for me.
100%.
And I can always come back, you know, stronger than ever. And I always said it, and I was always talking about how much I like to see growth in drag queens, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe I just predicted my own little moment, you know. Mm-hmm. So I feel like me now watching myself on the TV, I can definitely see where I can grow, you know.
Right, okay.
And it's not under my pants.
Because that's tucked anyways.
Half of the time.
How does it feel watching the show back? Because I'm always intrigued from someone that's done reality TV that when it comes to things being edited and what makes it to screen, how do you feel this is playing out? Is it true to life?
Oh yeah, everything that you see, nothing scripted there. Everything, all the drama, everything that's happening is because we created it, or like we presented it to them, you know. So whatever you see, and if people say something scripted, they made them say something like, I haven't heard that, like it, at least not in my season, you know. But no, it was I mean, they could have done me much more worse, to be honest. So, you know, they've been on my side, let's say that.
Well, I think actually, yeah, I mean, to be considering how early on in this show you went, which was a mm-hmm. shame. You definitely came across as like a real confident. You had that. I mean, there was that one wobble on the stage, right? But it was kind of funny. It wasn't like some sort of tragic error or like something really bad happened or you made a huge mistake. It was kind of just bad luck, wasn't
it? Yeah, exactly. So I think I did finish in good terms, not in terms where people were like, oh yeah, deserve to go home, bye. Mm. You know, it was more like, oh, shame. Maybe next time, you know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And is there bad blood between you and any of the queens now? Or is it all happy days and hunky-dory?
I think I'm too busy. I feel like every queen is just too busy to really survive and just to make sure they do the most. And because this is such a hard-working cast, everybody just like concentrating on their own stuff.
And bitches got to eat. Do you know? Exactly. You got to get up and get them coins.
Girl, and I eat a lot. So most of my money, if I ever, you know, if I have some, I always spend on food. So. And then drag.
And, and cost of living at the moment, you know, you go, food's very expensive. You obviously mentioned being like the first Polish queen. Is that in the whole world?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, that's really impressive. And because obviously Poland in recent years has had a bit of a reputation for being homophobic and lots of anti-gay laws and stuff, but that might be about to change, right? I was reading on
maybe
that.
I'm going to become the president then.
Tell him.
But did you feel a kind of a responsibility? I know you kind of talked about it a little bit on the show, but to do it for Poland in a way and the queer community, the queer Polish community.
Yeah, I mean, I did really take a really brave step to do it because I was either going to be really hated for it or like really praised for it. And so far, everybody's just loving it, you know? And like, I haven't received any hate mails yet. I'm just keep waiting, you know, still waiting. So I haven't. So it's surreal to me, you know? And I wanted to take that on my chest and just represent my queer people because we don't get a voice, you know, outside Poland, and people don't really know how much we have to struggle, how much we struggle outside, you know? Obviously, there are other places that struggle as well, but, you know, Poland's
and that's probably really inspiring. Like you say, for back home, there must be so many people that can't openly be gay or can't live their authentic, true self. So to see that someone, that's because you need someone, you always need someone to be the first. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? To wave the flag and open them doors.
Yes.
So to just see someone you can relate to wherever you are or in the community, do you know what I mean? It's just knowing someone's doing it and it can be done.
Yeah, exactly. I went to Poland about like 2 weeks ago. I had like my shoulder and people travel from like across the country. And it's like, it's not even like 2 hours train, because here the trains are quite fast. In Poland, if you want to go from Manchester to London, say, it takes you 15 hours.
Well, that's our cousin on a strike that year.
We're still in back 1950s, you know, with the train situation. So seeing people travel and seeing me, it's just, it's been a lot, you know.
So, that's so nice.
Yeah.
And social media has been all positive, you say. You haven't really had it. That's lovely. That's very rare for reality people.
And drag race fans as well.
Exactly, I think... Sometimes, maybe because I'm not as controversial, I don't really state a lot of opinions because I like to make sure that what I want to say first help my people and I can, like, you know, do what I can do in my power to, you know, make positive feelings in people's little hearts.
Maybe
that's why not yet. People, maybe they're still searching, you know. I mean, I had like little comments like, oh my god, what was like the worst comment I had? Maybe about representing Poland, but in like some lesbian came up to me and said like I was representing more the lesbian part of it, not the gay part of it. So that was like nonsense. Like it was like I did something and said, oh, it's a representation of a lesbian. You shouldn't be doing this. I was like,
I don't even understand.
So like that was maybe the only like negative part of it, but I didn't really get why she said that, you know. So that was the only part.
You can move on from that. Is it true you were gonna do a gay Putin?
I was.
As your snatch game.
Please do not make me do any Putin right now. Do not make me do it.
But what made you want to do that? I mean, apart from the obvious, like was did you just want to sort of take the piss out of him then?
I think it's with, especially what's happening right now in the world, we just have to take things and as much, obviously not make it a positive, but, you know, just make something positive out of it and just like laugh at what we can laugh really at and just really like...
We can laugh at Putin.
we can, especially what he's really against. I just really wanted to like... make him the gayest person ever, you know?
You're a brave person. No, I don't know if I would run a fucking rat in his cage. You know what I mean?
If he's watching Drag Race UK, then he's probably
Can you imagine? He's like, Rupert's Drag Race. No, this is what I wanted to make him look like, you know? Like eating little mini penises.
Do you reckon he's got a small dick?
Yes. Yeah. But he's giving me a small dick energy anyway, so that's why.
Yeah, he's got a project, isn't he? That's why
he's rich, so... I'm joking.
Which way do you swing, Bose? Do you go little dick, big money? Big money, little money, big dick?
Always a big one. So I don't care about money. I care about big
Yeah, fair. But what's happening now then? So you're out, you're sort of doing gigs and stuff. Is that the plan now?
So I'm trying...
I guess should there be a tour, won't there? Usually there's a...
I think we're going to be doing the tour maybe next year. We haven't been... none of the dates has been confirmed yet. working, to be honest, on my solo tour right now. That's going to be in next year, hopefully.
Nice.
And so concentrating on the photo shoot as well, because obviously I wasn't able to present my looks on the runway. I just wanted to really
put it out in the world.
Yeah, and just make sure people are like gagged. And yeah, people are loving it so far.
Sorry, Bez. I was just intrigued. Also, leaving and then seeing what the shows continue to do and what the Queen's been doing, especially like challenge-wise, is there anything you're relieved you got away with not having a day when it comes
Snatch
to challenges?
Game. Honestly, Snatch Game, I hate
you
it.
You didn't want to bang out your gay poop in?
I mean, only just for the memes, only for the looks. Yeah. But honestly, I just like, I'm just not
impersonation.
I'm not kind of person like make me laugh now, you know, like I go by the script, you know. I'm a ballet dancer since I was four, like everything's like scripted. Oh my god, I just see myself in a TV, sorry.
Looking good.
Oh my god, no, I cannot look that. So yeah, but I was really looking forward for like a musical challenge where I could do something totally out of my style and just, you know, like how you know the cast musical, you know, the older lady that where she was like memory,
yeah.
I wanted to do something like this, you know, something crazy, like out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, that would have been fun. I get this is the nature of the show though, isn't it? Because you prepare for everything that they let you know what's happening before, and then actually the result is you could end up only doing one
like
of
I
those
prepared,
things.
Over prepared for everything, you know, like I was just every single. Like minute that I was like, okay, what do I do? But to be honest, I'm not really mad at it. I had, you know, I had things to do. Like I needed to represent my people the right way, and I wanted to make sure that I showcase my talent. So that's why I was going by the rule book, and that's why everything that I did was very like, okay, I have to do this, you know. But I'm not ashamed of it, you know. I just like to be professional and prepared.
Five. Let's talk predictions.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you do know already or who knows, but who's your money on? Who do you reckon's going to win this series of Drag Race?
Hopefully all of them will go home and I will return for the finale. And I will
and Rue's going to call you.
I don't know. Honestly, again, I'm going to be boring, not like the snappy one, but honestly, everybody represents something different. We've got some comedy queens. We've got some... I was going to say, look, queens, no, but I left. no, we've got everybody's doing something different for somebody else, you know? So everybody has like their own fandom as well. But probably if I had to choose, Kate. I love Kate.
Kate Butch?
Yes. I think she's so
Do you know
funny.
What? I'm funny you should say that because I feel like she's a dark horse.
She is. She, honestly, backstage, all she does is talk. And she is so funny. She knows how to entertain people, you know? And with her, she's really quiet, but...
There's sometimes the ones you got to watch.
Exactly. But you know, whenever she needs to speak up, she does. Mm. And she always says something funny, you know? Everything that she says is so funny and iconic. So I would watch out for that one, yeah.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah. So hopefully I'm going to be best friends with her so she can write me a, you know, a stand-up comedy script.
Well, I was just going to say, do you think if there ever were to be a Polish Drag Race, which could happen, you know, stranger things have happened, would you want to go on it? Would you consider going back into that universe?
Oh my goodness, I would love to, yes. I mean, to be honest, being on the stage, anything to do with being creative and just doing something, like, yes, just sign me up for it. Like, if I have to play an older lady in some TV series, I'll do it. Like, anything, just give me the job, I'll do it, you know? Like, I'm a workaholic, so anything that I can, I will.
I mean, yeah, do anything for the buck. Same here.
Absolutely.
For me, it's mostly for the, I think, again, because I was a ballet dancer, I was doing everything for the passion of art. Money is not really number one thing for me. Like, as long as I get to be happy and... you know, do what I want.
We've got a hippie in the room, ladies and gentlemen.
How boring, right? It's like, go next. No, but honestly, like, I think I'd rather just do something that I love than dance for more money, you know?
Yeah.
Because then I just want to be happy.
Absolutely, babe. Amen, because life's short. Do you know what I mean?
Got to enjoy it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I hate money because I would love money. You know? Just bring them in.
Yeah. But, so we're coming to the end of the show, so I'm going to come with just one final question. I basically just give us in a minute or so, what's coming up for you? What's the plan? What's the goal? I know you love to work, but what's in the diary? What's next?
Honestly, my dream is to be able to create music and have my own, you know, sound out there. I feel like I already have a couple of singles I created years ago, and I just want somebody professional, a little bit, please message me, a professional to just like, you know, polish it, you know, because I would love to just be able to be on the stage, tour.
Are you working on that then behind the scenes? Or
yes. Oh, no, of course. Yeah, I'm always, my brain is never switches out. So hopefully, yeah.
Oh, I mean, and if you've got like a part, we can do it. Like, I don't know if you've heard, but they call me the male Adele. And yeah, there's a very special twang to my voice.
It that laugh is not far off by the notes that Bob gets to.
Like, celebrity karaoke finalist, thank you. Yeah, there was a reason. 2022.
There was a reason why you were a finalist, Bob, and you being able to sing was not one of them.
No. You were an entertainer, let's say
that. Yeah, that's what it's like. Yes. Herself. But I'll give it a go. Do you know what I mean? Put a mic in my hand and I'll always deliver. That's all I'm saying.
But what in your hand and Lynn always deliver?
A mic.
A mic. Know, I misheard.
He's got a dirty mind, that Stephen Ling.
Me too.
Oh, thank you so much for coming in. It's been
thank
an absolute
you.
Pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for having Alexa. Me.
And I know you was nervous. Was it as scary as you thought?
No, because at least it's not hot in here, because I was like sweating, you know, for the first time I wore a shirt.
Oh, we have a hot.
You're fine, babe. We got the air.
So it's amazing. Yeah, thank you for making me feel welcome.
Oh, you're welcome. You're in safe hands with us.
Thank you.
Very trusted hands. And guys, thank you as always for tuning in and listening. And we will see you back here next week, as always, for Access All Areas. And we'll be live on Foo Bar Radio Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Until then, bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.